Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. My name is James Stevens, journalist and West Country correspondent. It is Tingle Creek weekend at Sandown, and our panel will be looking at five live ITV races across Sandown this weekend. We also have three at Aintree to look forward to, including the return of the Grand National Fences with the Beecher Chase. As ever, do make sure to rate, review and subscribe to the show. But let's introduce this week's panel. We've got a very sharp looking Ed Nicholson off to the ROA Awards in a full tuxedo. Up in the anti-star, David Jennings, and the post anti-postman Robbie Wilders. Let's kick off with Sandown and the 115, the Potemps Network Handicap Hurdle, one of those qualifiers for the big one in March. And at the top of the market, we've got Dubrovnik Harry at 4-1, West of the Bridge and Henry II, 9-2 chances, Operation Manor 13-2, Super Survivor also 13-2, and Party Business at 8. Ed, I've given you a big introduction there, and we've also got a money back offer for our first at Sandown.
We have indeed, James. We've got money back if your horse comes second. There are nine runners here, so the money back offer is just for the second on this occasion. And it is a really competitive race, isn't it? You look at the handicap marks, and then you look at the betting, and you realise what a competitive race it is. 9-2 or thereabouts the field. Any number of horses could be fancied, but the one I looked at first actually was West of the Bridge from the Skeltons, who are in tremendous form, as we all know. And West of the Bridge, in a handicap mark lower than he's won at before, at a track that we know he likes. He's won two from three visits to Isha, and he needs it soft. And I don't live too far away, and the ground is soft around here at the moment with more rain forecast. So I think he'll get quite a lot going for him. The only negative, if you can call it a negative, is he's getting on a bit. He's rising 12, and there might be a few horses that might improve past him. But there's no real youngsters in the field. And at his best, he'd have to have a good chance in ground conditions that I think will suit. So, yeah, West of the Bridge would be my selection.
A 92 chance for Ed, and touched on the weather there. It's going to be extremely testing ground, or not extremely testing ground, but it's seeming testing conditions with some high winds expected and plenty of rain before racing. Let's come to you, Robbie, next. What's your feeling on this one?
Yes, James. I like Dubrovnik Harry in this. He's run a couple of crackers at Sandown in the past. He was third in the EBF final a couple of years ago. That's always a really good race. He's actually rated lower than when he ran in that contest. But he's good third in the Heroes Handicap Hurdle in February. That was his last run here. That form's worked out pretty well. The second, Hamino, won a good race at Newbury recently. Transmission was in fifth. He's won a good chase easily at Cheltenham. And the fact this will be the slowest ground he's run on in quite a while, but the best performance of his novice days was on heavy Exeter. I think he might just take his form to another level. And he ran well first time out last season. I think he's a pretty fair price to Brockman Harry.
Yeah, it always looked like he's going to win a big one. Hopefully it'll be the day for him. He's 4-1 favourite and the selection of Robbie Wilders. And finally, David.
Yeah, no real strong opinion for me here, James. Of all the race we're previewing, this is probably my weakest opinion. I'm with Henry II, just because he is well handicapped. If he retains any sort of his old ability, he's obviously had loads and loads and loads and loads and loads of problems, given we haven't seen too much of him. But the fact that he beat Henry's friend in a Grade 2 at Sandown, he's back at Sandown. I know it was 2 years ago, but he was rated 133 not so long ago. So won't be having a bet, but for a selection, I would tentatively go for Henry II.
Off to the 150 at Sandown. This is the first of two Grade 1 races we'll be looking at this weekend. This is the Betfair Henry VIII Novices Chase, where Lotus Sud, the really impressive Cheltenham winner, is our even money favourite. We've got two Irish Raiders for Gordon Elliott, Down Memory Lane at 5-2 and Touch Me Not 11-2. And Rabot 5-1, first start over fences. Fascinating to see what the guys think he might do on his chase debut. And finally, Sol Ike on the outside of lot at 25-1. David, I'll come back to you. Lotus Sud, he was so impressive at Cheltenham, wasn't he? That was a real cracking performance. Is he going to repeat it here? Is he the one to beat on that form, do we think?
Yeah, there's two Irish runners here, and they're certainly helping the race, but I think Lotus Sud is an absolute good thing. I really do. Like, he's evens. I can't believe he's evens. I think evens is a hell of a price. He was odds on all week, given that we didn't know which Irish horse were going to come over. But to me, he's a genuine, proper, deep Arkle contender. And I don't think any of the rest of them are. like, he just loves jumping, attacks his fences, lands running. And to be honest, Tom Siegel wrote about this during the week. Like, maybe last season's novice hurdlers are not as good as last season's handicappers, because that second to absurd in the county hurdle off mark of 135, that's cracking form. Finishing second in the Betfair hurdle at Newbury, that's cracking form. I just think he's a proper Arkell contender. I can't believe he's evens. On the two Irish contenders, Down Memory Lane was very good at Navan, won't mind any rain. Touch Me Not is without doubt the best. No matter how good Lotus Sud is at jumping, Touch Me Not is the best jumper in this race, and you will struggle to see a better jumping performance than his jumping performance at Punchestown. It was absolutely glorious. He's going to be brilliant over the railway fences. He's just not quite good enough to win a race of this calibre, though. I think evens Lotus Sud is cracking value.
Pretty strong thoughts there. One horse Robbie, David didn't mention there was Rabeau. How do you even analyse... It was just a little bit of a gamble here. I mean, Paul Nichols has said before, he thinks his horse is going to be a brilliant jumper, but you're going to have to be because it's Sandown.
Yeah, exactly. I'd actually be slightly tempted by him at around 6-1. I don't know if he's still 6-1. But, I mean, he was about £10 better than Lotus Sud was over hurdles. I mean, if he does end up being a better chaser, then, you know, he's going to be very quickly at Lotus Sud's level. I think I'd rather take a price out of Rubeau. It is a guess up, but the market does reflect that somewhat. I think it's a much deeper race than I thought it would be. Like, I would give a two chance to the two Irish horses. Like DJ said, Touch Me Not jumped superbly at Punchestown. And I thought Down Memory Lane, I thought he put a couple of speed horses over 2 miles to the sword at Navan. I think it's a cracking race. I'd be tempted by Rubeau at 6-1. I wouldn't be rushing to bat Lotus Sud at evens because I think there's a bit of depth to it.
Difference of opinion, we like to see it. Ed, which side are you on regarding Lotus Sud?
Well, he's drifting, and that's interesting to me. I don't know whether it's due to the Lotus Sud means southern water, and I think there's been a lot of water in the south, and I think his price might have drifted because of that, because he's raced 8 times on ground officially described as soft or heavy, and he's only won once. And I just thought he was a better horse on better ground. Maybe I've got that wrong, but that's kind of my thoughts. When he was like 8-15, 4-7, I was really looking to take him on. Evens, as DJ said, you can see why people will want to back him. But, I mean, this is Paul Nichols' race. He's won it 7 times, first time back in 1998 with Dines. 7 different horses, obviously, but 6 different jockeys have won for him. And you asked earlier on about Rabeau and whether Paul Nichols has ever done it, won a grade one novice the first time a horse jumps. Well, he tried it in this race in 2019 with Grand Sancy, and Grand Sancy came third to Esprit de Large and Nebra Nigra. And you might remember that, well, you might not, but he ran in exactly the same 2 races over hurdles that Rubeau was running, exactly the same 2. Now, Rubeau has won them both. He didn't win either of them. And Paul's been talking about this horse being a great jumper for a long time. So it doesn't happen very often. You go straight into a grade one. I had a quick look at my database. I could only see kind of horses that had done it 8 times in over 20 years. But most of those had run in France before. Long Run won the Felton, for instance. But that was his British debut. He actually won in Ireland over France in fences before that. But it doesn't happen. It's going to have to take a very good horse to do it. And he is a good horse. He's rated £10 above Lesotho Sud over hurdle. So you can see it happening. And I'm a bit like Robbie. I was tempted to back him at 6-1. I think Lotus Sud is worth taking on. But I don't know much about Down Memory Lane. He hasn't, you know, raced that often. But he's obviously a huge horse with potential, isn't he? So I'm looking forward to the race. I really am. You know, I think they've all got a chance in one bit of form or another. They're not too badly positioned in terms of their official handicap ratings either. So it's going to be a cracking race, but I might just go for Rabeau at the price and give it a chance on his chase debut in a grade one.
A difference of opinion with the panel there. Ed, almost a klaxon going off for a bit of nostalgia there, Ed, but an interesting shout with Rabeau. Let's move on to the 225, and this is a really fascinating race because we've got some really unexposed types in Cabral, de Mafan and Wilmont taking on some of the more experienced 2-mile hurdlers. handicap hurdlers in the market. Let's have a look at the market. And the market is in favour of Cabral de Mafan, who's 100 to 30, will mount. The horse who looked like a potential star in the making when he won at Newbury at the start of the season hasn't been seen since the Chalo. Alto Belli at 4-1, Knickerbocker of Glory 9-2, a big winner from last season. Mian Lion, one of the consistent names in this sort of grade, 7-1, and Stream of Stars 10s. A really tricky way of looking at it. Are we going for potential, Robbie? Are we going for proven form in the book?
Where do you go? That's the one, isn't it? Like, I mean, obviously Will Mount has gone off a short price for the Chalo last time. He's in a handicap hurdle of 130. He could be much better than that, but I do think that Alto Belli is better than 130, and he's got the proven handicap form. I mean, he ran really well first time out last season. He is making his return, but he was miles clear of our champ at Ascot. Our champ's rated a lot higher now. A couple other horses in that race have come out and won. And then he went to Ascot with a massive chance. I was on him big time there. And then he bumped into Lucia, who was third in the champion hurdle next time, and Imposo Toir, who's rated about a stone higher after winning the other day. Alto Belli, he's floating around on the same mark. He wasn't himself in the Betfair hurdle, I don't think. He was obviously given the rest of the season off. But yeah, I like a couple of these Harry Fry horses, and I'm going to stick with Alto Belli. Still a young horse, still unexposed, and eventually he's going to fall through in one of these handicaps.
Exactly. Alto Belli was the one I liked as well, and good to see Harry Fry's had a winner this afternoon as we record on Thursday afternoon. It ends a bit of a spell without a winner, so that's a boost for Alto Belli's chances. Ed, it's a tricky race, but you've got a super boost for us.
Yes, super boost. So if you fancy any of these horses, you'll get the next price up of the price ladder on this race. Any of the horses that take part, any ones that you fancy, you'll get the next price off. So if you fancy a 7-2 shot, you'll get 4-1 on the site. But it's a really difficult race, isn't it? I think, as you said at the top, do you go for the proven horses like Nemean Lion, who's won plenty of times, came sixth in the Unibet Champion Hurdle, has won off a break as well? Or do you go for the improvers, of which we have quite a few? I'm just going to go for an improver. I mean, Cabral du Matin hasn't done anything wrong. He's I think he's potentially still well handicapped off a 1-3-1. He's a four-year-old, does take on the older horses. But, you know, I just get a feeling he's just one step ahead of the handicap, and he doesn't seem to win by that far. So he's at top of the market at the moment. But, yeah, I'm going to keep following him until he gets beaten, to be honest, because I think there's plenty of improvement in him.
And he's not been beaten so far. So Cabral de Mafan, 100 to 30 for Ed. And finally, we come to you, David.
Well, I came on the show thinking the one thing I was pretty sure of in this 225 was that there could only possibly be two winners, and that is Cabral de Mafan and Will Mount, because both, definitely one of them, but they're both well handicapped. One of them could be spectacularly well handicapped. And I kind of said to myself, Alto Belli has missed a lot of time, and I was ruling him out. So I was kind of thinking Alto Belli has to get it to a level that maybe he mightn't be able to get to. But now, given two fine judges like Jane Stevens and Robbie Wilder's fancy Alto Belli, I may have to retract that opinion. But look, I went with Will Mount just because 130 could grossly underestimate him. Now, he obviously has issues, and the fact that he was so poor in the Chalo suggests to me he is probably serious enough issues. But he's a horse that threatened to be top class, and I don't think we know enough yet to suggest that he won't be top class. Like, even his point form when he beat Shannon Royal, who's a good horse for Gordon Elliott, next time in a bumper at Doncaster, absolutely bolted up, beating Lucky Seven. So I do think he's a seriously good horse. And I think Nicky Henderson is probably going to go novice chasing with him, but spotted an opportunity like this and said, you know what, off 130, he's chucked in. Let's try and win one of these nice pots. Cabral to Matan could be anything, absolutely anything. Could be chucked in off 131, but I'd be pretty sure Will Mount is a 140 horse at the very least. So my selection would be Will Mount.
Yeah, we might have just lost you there, DJ, but Will Mount, as you mentioned there, he's going to run in here and then he's going to go novice chasing. So fascinating to see how good he will end up. And if he goes back to that level he showed at Newbury, then you're quite right. 140 could just be the absolute bottom of his rating. So fascinating to see how good a prospect he is. He was a big talking horse last year, one of the big fancies in the Supreme. And David Jennings thinks he's going to get his career back on track. Let's go on to the 3 o'clock at Sandown. This is our big race of the weekend, the Betfair Tingle Creek Chase. A grade one where Jumbon looks to become the first since Corto Star to defend this race. He's 4-7 to do it. Ed, we know Unibet has some links with the Nicky Henderson stable. What's the vibes about Jumbon? It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? He's the favourite to beat. Is he going to be hard to beat?
Well, it looks difficult for him to not to win, isn't it? I mean, we know he likes the course. The stable are now back in form. He's much the best. I mean, he's £7 or more better on official ratings. And it's just a case of, you know, if he gets out in front, that run at Cheltenham would have put him spot on as well, I think. And I just think he goes and wins straight as that, really. 4-7, I'm not saying anything that nobody else knows, but a lot of these horses he's beaten before. The one also I thought was quite interesting was JPR 1, insofar as when I looked at the prices, I thought he was 14, 16 to 1 at the time. I wasn't expecting him to be that big because he's the new boy on the block, as it were. He's the one horse that John Bond hasn't beaten. Whether he's anywhere near John Bond, only time will tell. The kind of answer is probably no already, but he's the one that could improve past the ones that we've kind of noticed that John Bond's been kicking aside over the last year or two. So I'll be interested to see how he gets on because he's a good jumper as well and it would suit him, those railway fences. But yeah, I'm just all over John Bond, just love the horse, just want to see him win.
Let's just take a quick look at the market. We've come to you, Robbie. It's 4-7 John Bond, 5-1 Calixios, 13-2 Edwardstone, 11-1 JPR1, the one Edwardstone's there given a bit of a mention for. Boot Hill, 12-1 Master Chewy, 20s. Solness, 25, and Unexpected Party, 66-1. It seems straightforward for John Bond, Robbie, but I hear you're going to take him on.
Yeah, I was getting laughed at by my good friend David Jones, the top of the show. But I quite like Quilixios in this, and I'll tell you why. I was really, really impressed by his defeat of Marie Nationale at Nice on his return. He just jumped brilliantly, went out from the front. I mean, sure, we don't know exactly if that was really the sort of in-form Marie Nationale, but he had a couple of pieces of form last season, which I thought made me think that he could potentially be very good. He's going to enjoy a sort of test at the trip. I could just see him, if he jumps like he did at Nace, I could see him sort of really taking Sandown. I think he'd be slightly better right-handed. There was money for him ahead of the Arkle last season, but that was a complete non-event, really. He missed the break quite badly and then had to be shuffled up. And then it sort of, his race was run there. And then at Aintree, they just went way too hard. It set up for horses further back. If he just, it just seems like he's recaptured the spark of his juvenile days to me. And I mean, if John Bond does sort of not run to the form, and we know he can, I don't think he was quite himself in the Schlur. That was his lowest RPR since his novice days. If he's not quite operating at the level as he was last season, then I think Quilixios might be the one to step up and take him on.
Yeah, three of John Bond's best performances on RPRs have come at Sandown, so the track certainly
that is true.
Big plus for him as well. You were laughing at Robbie Wilders, David. Not for the first time, I'm sure. What's the verdict?
No, I'd never laugh at Robbie. Look, he makes a valid point. I have a theory on Calixios. I think when it gets to the top level, I don't think he has the natural pace for 2 miles. Like even seeing last season, they tried him over 3 miles in a Grade 2 at Punchestown. And he's a triumph hurdle winner who I think ideally wants further. And the problem I think is when he's upped in grade, it's fine like beating Marie Nationale at Nace in November, where no horse is really going lickety split. I just think in the top races, like a Tinkle Creek, like an Arkell as it was last season, I just think he gets taken out of his comfort zone. And I just wonder, will he be taken out of his comfort zone here? That's the thing that worries me with Calixios. You'll know your fate reasonably early. I think if he's bowling along out in front and jumping well, he's obviously got a cracking chance. But I really fear for him. I'd love to have a match bet with you, Robbie. I'll take JPR1 against Calixios in a match bet for maybe coffees and croissants or a couple of pints or something. Because love I think that. JPR1 is the overpriced one. He's obviously, the wind surgery, I thought he looked a different horse at Exeter. I just loved the way he travelled. He powered through the race. And I think he's going to be best of the rest. But best of the rest are on a different level to what John Bond is on. Like, John Bond, to me, like, he doesn't get the credit he deserves. We say that about a lot of horses. But I think there's probably two in training that don't get the credit they deserve. One is Envoy LN, who has won, I think, 8 or 9 grade ones, won 16 races. The other is John Bond, who's won 15 of his 18 starts and finished third in the other three. So he's never been out in the first two and 18 starts. That takes some doing. Just the fact that he hasn't won at the Cheltenham Festival and has been beaten in a Supreme and an Arkell, and he didn't get to the Champion Chase last season, that probably takes the gloss away. But I think he'll win the Champion Chase this season. I think he'll win the Tinkle Creek this season. And I think he could be quite impressive here.
Yep, good case, and I agree with you about underrated. I mean, he was crossed by Constitution Hill, and that sort of took the glow off, didn't it? Well, I think everyone suddenly swarmed to Constitution Hill, and John Bond has gone about his business since then and won so many good races and some fascinating points about Quilixos and the pace. One race that certainly won't require a lot of pace to win is our next at Sandown, the 3:35, the Betfair Exchange London National Handicap Chase over three and a half furlongs, and some clues to the Welsh Grand National in this as well, with Mr. Vango and Broken Halo, potentially Chepstow bound. Let's have a look at the market. We're 9-2 Mr. Vango, 5-1 Broken Halo, Montgomery for the informed Venetia Williams at 6, Unanswered Prayers, a winner last time at 7-1, and Tommy Bow, the horse who produced that rather chaotic scenes in the Cheltenham Cross Country, is 15-2 to avenge that. Ed, let's come to you. It's going to be a long one, this one. It's a slow old staying handicap chase, but you've got a fancy for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's not original. It's the one at the top of the market, Mr. Vango, but he's still lightly raced. He's an 8-year-old, but he's only had 8 runs, I think, in his life. And he's always looked a horse that's going to win one of these big staying chases pots. He won the Devon National off a mark of 120 by, was it something like 60 lengths or something like that? He just powers through the ground. And on the back of that, he's been well fancied to win a couple of big races. The Scottish National he went off favourite for, but the ground dried up a bit. I mean, he dried up and he was pulled up. Won't be his ground back. He wants it really soft. And he probably wants more than 3.5 miles, but he's get 3.5 miles at Sandown. And he's still rated 135. I mean, I put this one down as my anti-post selection for the Welsh National. I still think he'll go well in the Welsh National. And I noted he's only 26 in the Welsh National at the moment. So even if he won, it wouldn't be the biggest problem in the world. He's got 10-4 on the long handicap. So I think Mr. Vango, if he's there ready to run the race, which we all hope he will be, he's had a tongue tie since last season. Nico de Boinville on board. Read his blog on Friday afternoon. He'll be mentioning Mr. Vango and the chance. Obviously well connected to the stable. Great story if Mr. Vango does win. And I think he's one of the few horses in the race that's still well handicapped. And whereas they're kind of plodding along these staying chases, he's a horse that's still on the up. I can see him improving throughout the season. So, yeah, Mr. Vango for me.
A strong fancy there from Ed for Mr. Vango. David?
No, not a strong fancy. I like Broken Halo. Just one at a bigger price, so I think Collector's Item will run well. I think he's going to come out a ton for that reappearance at Newbury. And he's always threatened a lot more than he's delivered, but this is exactly what he wants, and he's snippets of form from Sandown that read quite well, so I wouldn't be surprised to see a big run from Collector's Item. But Broken Halo, course specialist, we see him in all those grand military races with Jody Soul. Just think the race is going to be set up perfectly for him. I think he's still got scope. Like, it's hard to believe he's 9. He seems to be running in those grand military races for the last 5 years. But yeah, I think he's got some scope for improvement, especially around Sandown, where he's so effective. Off a mark of 133, I thought he was a rock solid kind of each way play. So my two against the field would be Broken Halo and Collector's Item.
Okay, and well, I just lost you there, but Broken Halo at 5s for Paul Nichols, who won the race, of course, last year with Trucker's Lodge, and a mention for Collector's Item, a 17-2 chance. Where are we looking, Robbie?
Yeah, I think the one that has been missed, James, is Dr. Kananga. He's the complete outsider of the field. He's 10 now. He's not been in amazing form, but his yards really, really hit a bit of form lately, Ben Clark. He's had four winners in November. All of them were first time out. It's his best month ever. And this horse is just very well handicapped. This time 2 years ago, he went off 8-1 for the Beecher. There's 22 runners in that. There's only 12 in this year's one. He sort of lost his form a bit after that. He still ran some pretty good races off lower marks earlier in the season. Like, he ran against Two Shots of Tequila, a good race at Catrick. That horse is now £12 higher. Art Deco, Fontwell. In a marathon there, that horse is rated a good bit higher as well. He's just down to 117 off bottom weight. He looked a marathon chaser with a lot of potential a couple of years ago. And if Ben Clark has got him back to anywhere like that form on conditions he'll like, then I think it'll give people a good run for their money at about 25-1.
Yeah, 25-1 chance. You touched on the form. The stable has moved to the premises near Harry Fry and certainly reaping the rewards of that. So hopefully that will continue for Ben Clark. That's Dr. Kananga at 25-1. That's are five races from Sandown had a look at, and we'll be looking at Aintree after this. So then we move on to our three live races at Aintree, starting in the 132. This is the Boyle Sports home of the early payout handicap chase over 2.5 miles. Now, me and you, David, we were down at Cheltenham for Springwell Bay's first run, the first run November meeting. We were both a little bit disappointed, weren't we? Are we going to be back retaining the faith once again?
Yeah, I think I was immediately disappointed because obviously I fancied him and he didn't win. He's a frustrating horse because he's such a good horse, and I think you just know the ability is there and he's just not quite getting the maximum out of his potential. Crashed through the second last, lost momentum, didn't have a hard time afterwards. It's just in the back of my mind that the Novices Handicap Chase at Cheltenham will be his main aim. But in saying that, there are plenty of races throughout the season to be won, and I think with Springwell Bay, if you were to pick a kind of a track and a trip and everything that's right for him, this will be it. I think 2.5 miles, Aintree, I think he's better on a flat track than he is on an uphill finish. He is well handicapped. He has to be off 1.45. I think he's got a little bit more ability than that. He's a classy horse running against horses that are inferior to him, and I think he'll just be in his comfort zone the whole way. Probably travels a bit too strongly, but I think if this is part of the plan, I would be very disappointed if he wasn't up to winning this. He's just a class above these, James.
Okay, so let's go through the market. It is Springwell Bay 11-4, Richmond Lake 3-1, Dr. TJ Eckelberg 13-2, Grandad's Cottage 7s, and No Risk to Flow at 15-2. Robbie, are you sticking with the Springwell Bay team? It's not been much fun for them so far this season, barring Chepstow, of course. Where are you looking?
Telling me, yeah, I was on him big time at Aintree when he came down the second last for that handicap. I thought he'd have gone very close there. I don't know about you fellas. I think he's on a good mark. 3 miles was always, going back to 3 miles at Cheltenham was a bit of a risk. It probably does stretch him a bit. He can be quite a keen goer. I mean, I think, like DJ says, on a flat track, 2.5 miles, that does look optimal to me. I do like novices in this sort of races. I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. And if he gets back to the form of his chasing debut, I think he's got a massive chance. I think the price is, I think he's valued, to be honest, James.
Okay, so that's two, and I'm also in the team. So, Ed, you're going to reward us with industry best price, I hear.
Yeah, we are going industry best price in this race, which means that from 9 a.m. on Saturday, if you fancy any horse in this race, Unibet is the only place to go, really, because you'll get the best industry price, whatever's out there. You'll get. So yeah, go to the unibet.co.uk site and you'll be on the best price from 9 a.m. on Saturday. And I'm going to make it to four because I'm going for Springwell Bay as well. I was at Chepstow when he won the Robert Mottram and he won that really well. He was the best hurdler that was going chasing that day, so he should have won, but he won it well. And we all know the horse really well, don't we? I just wish he wouldn't pull. He's just a little bit keen. He doesn't really pull, I suppose, but he's just keen. Or he's always been keen. So if he can just curb that that part of his game, he could be a really good horse. He's rated 1.45 at the moment. And yeah, as everyone said here today, he's taken on inferior opposition. So over a trip that might suit him better, on a track that might suit him better, he's a better class than them. Let's hope he wins for the better.
Indeed, it's a full house in the 132 at Aintree for Springwell Boy. Let's see what the panel think about the 207 at Aintree. This is the Boyle Sports Beecher Handicap Chase, the second race of the season over the Grand National Fences. Let's come straight back to you, Ed. Hugely tricky race. I've just been through the market. We've got Chianti Classico at 7-2, King Turgeon, winner of the Grand Sefton at 4s. Gabriel at 4-1, third, was staying on strongly. Perhaps could he reverse the form? Cruise Control, winner Aintree last season, 11-2. Iron Bridge, 15-2, of course, second in the Welsh Grand National last time. And it's going to be pretty testing at Aintree on Saturday. A tricky Beecher chase, I'd say, this one, Ed. Where are you looking?
Yeah, I think we're doing this on Thursday. I think the first port of call is to see what the ground is, because it does change a lot on the Grand National course. At the moment, it's good to soft on the mild main, and it's down as being soft over the national fences. And that will change if it's faster. There'll be lots of horses that it'll be too fast for him. I like Cruise Control. I backed him when he won at Aintree. He's a great jumper. But I also have a soft spot for Iron Bridge, who came second in the Welsh National when I tipped him, miles behind the winner, Nasalem. But he's coming down the handicap. He's in the Welsh National again. He's on 1.36 at the moment. Soft, it can't be soft enough for him. That's why I'm kind of keen to know what the ground's going to be come Saturday. Because if there was any good in the description, I wouldn't be selecting. But at the moment, with soft, I can just see Iron Bridge taking to these fences, being hunted around, and then coming there with a wet sail to take it up on the run-in. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Iron Bridge. Thought his third at Carlisle was a nice pipe opener. He's got this, and then I'd imagine the Welsh National as his next two. I mean, it might not run the Welsh National. It's quite close, isn't it? But there would be the two races I'd go for if I owned Iron Bridge. And, I really hope he runs well because he's one of my favourite horses in training. Love the horse.
Okay, Iron Bridge.
Oh, and I should say, James, sorry, I was waffling on, but I should say we're extra place in this race as well.
Could be handy. We've got a Cheltenham Festival winner in this race, David, in Chianti Classico. Switching over the Aintree Grand National Fences, I don't think Ken Bailey's had a winner over the Grand National Fences since good old Mr. Frisk. Do you think Chianti Classico can end that long run?
I think Chianti Classico is the bet of the day. Just when you go through this field, you say to yourself, when you go through it, you kind of go, hold on a second here. You're talking about an ultimate winner who's rated 157. He's in a different league to these horses. Now, I know it's a handicap, but he did mightily well to get away with a £5 rise for absolutely pissing in Ascot. He won the ultimate last season and basically bolted up in that as well on as soft a ground as you're ever going to get at the Cheltenham Festival. So it's a case of, in my opinion, whether he'll take the defences or not. I think you're getting, 9-2 about whether he will take to the national fences. And we all know that the national fences are not what they used to be. I think this is just a blatant case of one horse being vastly superior to the horse he's run against. And would he look completely out of place in the Gold Cup? He wouldn't win it. And, he mightn't finish in the first three or four. But, he's not that far off the level required to actually run the Gold Cup. It's just we're in the glorious era of brilliant staying chasers at the minute. I think he'll win this.
Chianti Classico, a strong shout there for David Jennings at 7-2 as it stands. Robbie, are you as strong on the favourite?
I think Gaborio wins this. I do respect what DJ's saying. I do like a class horse in a handicap. But I just think Gaborio has been laser targeted at this by Grunon Guerrero, two very good target trainers. I think he used the Sefton as a stepping stone to this. He's not a 2.5-miler. I mean, he won over as far as 4 miles last season. Getting on softer ground is not going to hurt one bit. He's £3 out of the weights, but that's not enough to put me off. It would have been 5 if Coco Beach was running. I think he's on a good mark, and he's got every chance off that rating.
Gaborio for Robbie Wilders. Let's move on to the final race we'll be looking at. This is the 3.17 at Aintree, the final race from Aintree on ITV. This is the Ball Sports Best Odds Guaranteed Handicap hurdled over 2.5 miles. A tricky race to finish the afternoon. We've got a 5-1 favourite in Chock-a-Block, Santos Blue and the Naga Reedy 6-1, Uncle Bert 13-2, Tamabridge and Getter Lead 7s. Let's go to you first, David. Tricky race. Where are you looking towards here?
Yeah, really tricky. Country Park went up 9 for that second in Cheltenham. Now, the one thing I will say about Country Park is I think flat track 2.5 miles is exactly what he needs, and he's going to get it here. But £9 is a fair rise for finishing second in the Midland maiden hurdle, probably as bad a maiden hurdle as you see at Cheltenham. So it's a fair rise, but I just think he's a good horse, and I think he could go really well, but as regards the most likely winner, I think it's Chock-a-Block, who that second to Key to Bourbon could turn out to be really good for him, to be honest with you. You just look at the horses he's booked into, Gidley Park, Key to Bourbon. I'd say 1.28 is at the lower end of his ability, and he's another one of these Nicky Henderson horses that could be well handicapped, and I think he's the most likely winner. I'd be with Chock-a-Block.
Chock-a-Block, the most likely winner at 5-1s, but also mentioned there an each way prize potentially for Country Park at 9s. Ed?
Yeah, I'm with DJ. Chock-a-Block, I think, probably got more improvement. I remember Chock-a-Block's dam, Chock-a-Walker, who ran at Cheltenham, ran down the field. This gelding's already better than her after a few runs. And I know that Nicky's always liked this horse. He always talks about this horse as being, you know, he likes horses that he gets from the state, from the breeders that he's trained before. He loves that. He loves looking at the pedigrees and the races that they went from. And both this horse and Chock-a-Walker both ran at, and won at Ludlow, for instance. So he kind of thinks it through. Yeah, I just thought that she possibly was a step ahead of the handicapper. And don't forget to read the Nicky Henderson Unibet blog on Friday afternoon. He'll be going through all his runners at the weekend. So you'll be able to find out a bit more straight from the man himself. We also should say that we're offering extra place in this race as well.
And a little bit more nostalgia from you there, Ed, which is what we like to hear on the show.
Yeah, well, the one thing I didn't talk about was I was going to ask everybody their first memories of the Tingle Creek. And mine, but then I realised mine was 1992 and you guys wouldn't have even been alive back then. So I quickly forgot that.
I'm sure that the listeners will have enjoyed that section.
What age do you think I am?
For the future.
Yeah, well, you're not young to me, DJ.
David is glowing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm delighted with that. I remember 1992 very well. I'd say it was probably Waterloo Boy maybe winning his second, was it?
It was, yeah. Uncle Ernie ran in that race as well, didn't he? Yeah, deep sensation. I've got a watercolour on my wall, actually, of the finish of that race. You're looking.
Yeah, I remember that also, year. I'm saying, it went on to Viking Flagship, Soundman, Direct Route, Flagship Umbrellas, out of Tinker Creek is a glorious race.
There we go.
I don't remember before and the show myself.
You are young, Robbie.
Let's go on to Robbie's selection in the 317 and go on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Late bloomer.
Back to business, boys.
Tamar Bridge for me, James. He won this 3 years ago. He's had plenty of problems since. I mean, he's run four times, pulled up three times, returned from a huge absence at Etoxa in October. I thought that was a really eye-catching second. I can't imagine they were expecting to run that well first time out, considering the big layoff. It wasn't a big pot there. You'd have thought he'd come forward for it. I like the fact he's been given 50 days off. That's probably enough of a break. You're worried about the bounce back with these horses that have been fragile. But he is £3 lower than he won this a few years ago. He's probably been aimed at it. And you could get a very good run for your money at that price, I think.
Tamar Bridge for Robbie at 7-1. We'll have a quick word from our sponsors now, and then we'll hear what the boys like away from the ITV cameras and those all-important naps.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 Uniboosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
So before we get into our naps, we're going to just hear whether anyone else has got any fancies. Robbie and Ed do not, but DJ, you are going to hopefully carry the team forward with some selections from outside the ITV cameras.
Yeah, it's a big day at my local track, Navan, or Navan, as Dave Orton used to call it. Yeah, really good card, some really top quality, potentially exciting young hurdlers and chasers running the Grade 2 Novice Hurdle, which is at 107. The Tote Navan Novice Hurdle was the race last year that produced 3 Cheltenham Festival winners, Slade Steel, Better Days Ahead, and the Albert Bartlett winner, Stellar Story. So this year, probably the Yellow Clay will win it. I wouldn't say it's as good as other years. But I'm going to throw some fancies your way. In the 142, the Bechtiv Stud, Tea Rooms and Apartments Handicap Hurdle Lister Race, €100,000 prize money. I like the former Portemps final winner, Good Time Johnny, who I think is well handicapped. I think 3-mile-1 around Nav, and Josh Williamson takes off £7. I think he's got a big chance in that and could be a price in the 142, Good Time Johnny. In the 217, the Timeless Sash Windows Handicap Chase Listed Race, I'd be pretty sweet on Safruere for Gordon Elliott, Bechtiv Stud, and Sam Ewing. Ran over hurdles at the Navan Racing Festival and travelled really, really well. So Safraware, I think, has got a big chance in the 217. In the 252, a really good beginner's chase. Il Atlantique, I think, will make a really good chaser, or a better chaser than he was a hurdler. So I think Il Atlantique has got a big chance in that 252. And in the final race, He Can't Dance. Keep an eye on He Can't Dance, because I would say he probably can dance.
Great. So we have got a whopping fourfold there, a Navan fourfold for David Jennings. The 142, good time, Johnny. Safraware at 217. Il Atlantique at 252. And He Can't Dance. Well, David Jennings might well be if he wins the 327 at Navan. Let's go on to our best bet of the week. And let's start with you, Robbie. What is the nap of the weekend?
Yeah. It'll be a real shock to DJ if Quilickshaw swims a Tingle Creek, but I think the gentleman might be surprised at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Quilickshaw for me, Jen.
David Jennings is out in his chair. He can't believe it.
I did want to take Gaborio.
Unbelievable scenes.
The beach has been nicked, so let's go.
I can't speak.
A rightful shout out before the World Championship starts. Ed Nicholson, who is going to hit the target for you?
We're going to go for Mr. Van Gogh in the London National, 3:35 at Sandown. Still lightly raced. He's a stayer with an enormous amount of ability, probably right end of the handicap still. And we'll get the ground that he needs. He needs it really bottomless. And I think it will be very soft at Sandown on Saturday. So Mr. Van Gogh for Nico.
I will go for Springwell Bay, given we've got a full house of supporters in the 132 at Aintree. I've stolen that one away from you, David Jennings. But you've got another one for us. What is your fancy of the weekend?
Oh, look, I swore I'd never do this nap in a bloody race over the national fences, but I just keep going through that beacher, and I just think Chianti Classico is just a different level to those horses he's running against. So I'm with Chianti Classico in the 207 at Aintree.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much to our panel. That's David Jennings, Robbie Wilders and Ed Nicholson. Make sure you join us again at 7 p.m. on Thursday next week, where we'll be previewing the action, returning to Cheltenham for its December meeting. We enjoy hearing your weekend fancies and thoughts, so keep them coming, as well as rate and review and subscribe the show wherever you're listening to us. But until next time, enjoy the racing, goodbye, and gamble responsibly.